Give me a mic check for Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, hello, check one Tampa, check two Tampa. I need some more on one.
Okay.
Casino, check, check. Hard Rock. Tampa, check, check. Seminole Hard Rock.
Check it out for yourself at SeminoleHardRock.com. All right, guys, I'm rolling. Let's kick it.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me for today's chat is Marcel McCree, lead singer and frontman in the Athens, Greece-based band The Fabulous Heydays. Their song, Cut from a Different Cloth, was the coolest song in the world several weeks back. It's off their debut album, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Heydays, which is available from SoundFlat Records. We'll listen to a bit of that tune now, followed by my talk with Marcel on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. You got the Mighty Manfred with you here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And dear listener, it is time for today's Coolest Conversations. And joining me, Marcel McCree, lead singer and frontman for the Fabulous Heydays, five-piece international band based in Greece. Their recent coolest song in the world, Cut from a Different Cloth, is off their SoundFlat Records album, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Heydays. Hey, Marcel, how are you?
Hey, Manfred, I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited to be chatting with you. Congratulations on the album. It's just a scorcher filled with a bunch of shakers and movers. Before we start talking about that directly, I wanted to know how life was you from the pandemic, because my understanding is that you're based in Greece, in Athens, and what was life like during the pandemic?
I'm originally actually from the Netherlands, where I was born and raised, and then I moved to Greece around the 2000s. And the pandemic was intense. It was difficult. They had quite a few months in Athens where they locked everything down, and you were only able to go outside by sending an SMS or a message to a government board or something, and then be allowed to go outside with the passport and everything. So it was pretty intense for a few months, but it had its upside as well. So for us, it was good because we, of course, there was no lives around the city and around Greece. So it really made us focus to go into the studio and finish the album. So that was the upside.
I looked on the album credits, and it credits you with writing the music and the lyrics to all the original material, along with some help from the other members of the band. One of the great things, in addition to the really cool garage rock sounds and vibes on the album, is you've also got kind of a 50s thing going on with the tunes. You mentioned being from the Netherlands originally. What was life like growing up for little Marcel? Was there a lot of music in your home growing up or not?
There was, yeah. I think it's the classic story where, you know, my dad had the record player and quite a few good albums, you know, like Elvis Presley, Simon and Garfunkel, some Beatles albums, the Beach Boys and things like that. So yeah, I was brought up around good music. We had a piano in the house, and I had an uncle who was quite a good guitar player. So yeah, music was always there. And then when I was growing up, I had some friends that were, initially we were listening to punk music. So, and then that kind of moved a little bit further back to the 60s and the 50s, I guess.
Well, let us know, how did the band form? I mean, you're from the Netherlands. I believe there's someone in the group also from Australia. How did you guys meet, and when did the band form?
So the band formed, I think, around not so long, like 4 years ago, I think. And me and the guitar player, Dennis, we were already playing in different formats before that as well. And it wasn't too serious. We just loved to play rock and roll and we would do live once in a while, and we used to change drummers and bass players quite a bit. And my friend, the Australian guy, I met him when I first moved to Athens, and he was playing a little bit of guitar and a little bit of bass, and he actually really loved the bass. So he ended up being our bass player. So for the actual setup of the Heydays, we were just looking for a drummer, and then we found the drummer through a mutual friend of ours, and he turned out to be a really good drummer. And from that moment, we decided maybe to find also a saxophone player or an organ player. So we actually do have both. Both are available. So we sometimes switch between them. We've played live also with both of them, both the sax player and the organ player. But we that's how we kind of got together.
So there's a cool kind of garage rock and roll scene happening in Greece right now, or at least in Athens?
There is. It's a really small scene, and I don't know what it's like in the States, how big the scene is, but also in the Netherlands, it used to be bigger and it's become really small. Greece, it's also a really small and tight scene, so everybody knows each other. It's not that big, actually. From my understanding, from what I've heard from the stories, garage used to be really big back in the early 80s, but... Yeah. Then rock music and metal took over, and that kind of stuck around, and you can still see that till today.
So the cut from a different cloth, that was our recent coolest song in the world. When I looked at the video for it, that says it came out in 2018, and I was wondering, the album didn't come out till last year, 2021. Did the pandemic cause you to release the album later, or had you not recorded the rest of the album?
It's exactly that. So we were playing for a little bit we were doing some rehearsals and we wanted to play live, and we were playing mostly cover songs. And then I started writing, and then I had this one track, which this track Cut from a Different Cloth. And we went into the studio because I wanted to record it. So we did. And we also made a video for it. And it was not until after that that we were like, okay, let's try and put an album together maybe. And I already had some songs on the shelf that I wanted to maybe also record. So yeah, from there on, actually afterwards, it's became a little bit more serious, I guess. So during the pandemic, we had more time, and that's when we went into the studio, and then all the other songs came together as well.
So Cut from a Different Cloth, I really love the title there. It's a cool phrase. What inspired you to write the song?
That's a good question. I think I read the phrase somewhere, and I thought it was a cool sounding phrase, right? To set yourself apart from the rest. And, I had this riff, I guess, on the guitar, and it's kind of came out. I never really have any specific way of writing, or how, I don't know really how to explain how songs come out, but sometimes they just do, right? You probably know more than anyone. So,
well, I don't know about that, but it's interesting. There are some groups, some people that have very regimented about how the song's going to come together. And then there are other people that, it's just much more loosey goosey and sort of organic. But in your case, do you, since you are the primary songwriter, at least it starts with you, and then you have a riff, you have some lyrics, and then you go meet with the other guys and kind of flush it out?
Exactly. So usually when I just fiddle around, I guess, on the guitar, and I do that on a daily basis, sometimes a riff might come out, and I usually record riffs if I think it might have something. So my phone is filled with, I might have hundreds of little riffs on the phone, and probably 99% of them are really bad. So, and I usually I take some time and I listen to back to them, and if there's something in between that I like, then I try to keep it and then make something out of it. I guess that's kind of my approach. But and then over that riff, I try to, add the lyrics and the vocal lines. And then we could just go into a studio and then, or sorry, in a rehearsing room, and then we just try it out and see yeah, see if the song has any energy, if it comes out nice, and then, yeah, we just build on that, basically.
So you were mentioning having not only an organ player, but also a sax player, and I think what's so cool to me about having a sax player is I always felt like that's kind of a missing link in rock and roll, for garage rock bands especially. You know, you think of all these bands that supposedly the Sonics have influenced, but none of them ever have saxophone players. How important is having a sax player to you?
It's not more important than any of the other members, I would say, but I always thought it was a really cool idea, right? By, like you said, like bands like the Sonics and the Wailers. I actually saw the Wailers live as well a long time ago in New York, and they had the saxophone player. And yeah, it just goes so well with that rock and roll sound. And we just happened to know this guy, Orestes, and he was, he loved that music. So we just invited him. We were just blown away. He was just so good. And the solos that come out, it's just, yeah, it sounds really nice. It goes really well with the music. So, it wasn't like we were specifically looking for a saxophone player, but we were like, we knew we wanted a saxophone player, maybe, or maybe an organ player. But then when we knew, or we found out through mutual friends that there was this saxophone player and he was really good and he was into rock and roll music, we invited him to come along and it just fit really well. So
one thing I enjoy on the band. One thing I really enjoy on the album is that, you know, 50s rock and roll vibe, and to some of the songs, and my favorite of those is Bow Down to the King. Have you ever been to Macon, Georgia?
I've never been to Macon, Georgia. No, I mean it's on my bucket list. Because I've been to the States quite a few times, and I've seen quite a bit of the States, but I've never seen the South. So I'd love to see also Athens, Georgia, right, where you guys are from. But I'd also love to go to Macon, Georgia. Yeah, that's almost it was my tribute to Little Richard, who unfortunately passed away. The song was written before he passed away. Just on the side note, but he was definitely big influence and still is on myself and our band, I guess.
So what is it about Richard that you find so inspiring?
It's just so raw. His music is so back to basics, and it just gets you going, you know? And his personality was fantastic. I love his personality.
So the song's called Bow Down to the King. When you play it live, do you make people bow down?
We have done that. We have done that once or twice. Yeah. Yeah. Where we go into, there's a little area in the song where it kind of slows down. And that's where we sometimes like make people go and bow down. Yeah. Although I often wonder if anyone understands if they're actually, you know, I don't want them to bow down to me. I want them to bow down to
right. Right. Well, you have to maybe get a big picture, poster board of Little Richard and hold that up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I usually shout out, this is for Little Richard, you know.
Right.
For those people that...
Well, you mentioned doing covers on occasion, and the only cover on the album, though, was a version of Tommy Tucker's High-Heeled Sneakers. Why did you decide to include that song, that cover tune?
Because it was one of the songs that we played, that we used to cover, so it was in our repertoire. And it was just so soulful, and it always came out really nice. And we actually didn't base it on Tommy Tucker's version, but on a version from a band called The Airedales, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of this group, but
no,
you should check them out. So it's Rocky Roberts and the Airedales. They're actually they were a bunch of American guys, and they moved to Italy in the 60s because they were stationed out there for the army, I think. And they started a group, and they just have it's fantastic music. Just check them out if you have the time. There are some videos on YouTube as well.
I definitely will. So these were American servicemen that were living in Italy.
Correct, correct. And I think Rocky Roberts, actually, because he made such a good career out there, he also passed away there. I'm not sure how long ago, but I think he passed away in Rome many years ago. And he was he was the initial singer. They brought him in, I think, as I think the band liked his voice, so he sat in, and then they made an album or a couple of albums together. And then he left later, and then the bass player called Wes became the singer. And they also made some albums. You should really check them out because the music is amazing.
But well, that sounds really cool. So, I mean, I was familiar with, you know, the Monks from Germany, but this is just very cool to find out that, you know, kind of a similar thing, American servicemen playing rock and roll, but in Italy instead.
Yeah, it's actually, it's not rock, it's more soul, actually. It's like a combination, but they have some really good tunes. And they did a really nice cover of that song.
So in the song, it talks about, you know, how some fool might want to start a fight. Marcel, are you a lover or a fighter?
I'm a lover, man, Fred.
Well, of course you are. Of course you are. So there's another track on the album, Stale Coffee, and that makes me think of that Fabs song, That's the Bag I'm In. Do you know that song?
I know that song. Yeah, I do. Was that on one of these compilations?
Yeah, that was on a Back from the Grave compilation. That's the Back I'm In. But it has the same sort of thematic idea, you know, particularly bad day. Was there any one bad day that inspired the song Stale Coffee?
There wasn't actually, no. There's enough bad days to go around, I guess, but it wasn't based on a specific day. But it just, the lyrics just started out. And I thought to maybe write something a little bit with some humor in it or something a little bit funny, I guess. That just kind of came out. So,
but not so another cool track. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was not based on one specific day.
No, but it could apply to any bad day that somebody has.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Assembly Line for the Stupid, another cool track on the album. Have you ever worked in a factory or on an assembly line?
I have actually, when I was quite young still, though. I think I was 16, 17. I worked in the Netherlands in a cheese factory.
What did you do in the cheese factory?
You're allowed to laugh here, Fred. Don't worry.
Oh, I am.
So
were you cutting the cheese?
No. My job was to, so you're standing in like these big factory halls, and you have like these big, how do you call them? Big planks of wood, let's say, on the wall, right? And they go really high up, and it's still the cheeses. So my job was to take a cheese out, and then you have a sponge, and you put the sponge in a bucket with plastic. You know how the cheeses have this plastic layer? The coat on the edge, right? So that's what I was doing. So I was basically coating the cheeses with this plastic, and then it would dry up. So you would take the cheese out, cover it with plastic, and then throw it back on the shelf, and then take the next cheese. And so, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, you lived the life.
I did.
Yeah. Well, I went online to check out your live shows, and I found clips from what I'm guessing is a club in Athens called the Lost and Found. Is that a favorite place to play?
We played there a couple of times. That's correct. Yeah, we played there, I think, two or three times. We were once invited to, there was some sort of 60s festival, and they invited us to play there. So we did. And then we went back there sometime. So, yeah, it was a... I think they closed now also because of the pandemic, unfortunately.
Okay.
But it was a popular live place. There wasn't that many live places to play left in Athens, to be honest. That was one of them. It was definitely always a cool venue to play. But from what I understand, it closed down. Yeah.
I saw clips as well from the Cosmic Trip Festival in France. That was just a few weeks ago. How was that?
That was amazing. Yeah. That was just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, that was really, really nice. Yeah, we loved that. It was a really cool crowd and good bands. And they had some really nice stands out there. You could buy some records and different memorabilia, I guess. Yeah, it was really, really nice vibes. We had really good weather, which from what I understood, is not always the case, because that festival's been going on for, I think, 15 years, they told me. So they do it every year, so which is really nice. But yeah, we were really lucky with the weather as well. So we had a really good time.
Have you played many festivals?
No, we have not actually. We did play another festival in Greece, I think 3 years ago. That was right before the pandemic, which was in the north of Greece, and it's outside by a river. And it's quite amazing, actually. So yeah, we played there as well. We haven't played that many festivals, but we want to. So we might play a festival in a few weeks again in Greece, in North Greece, but then on the East Coast. So we're waiting for confirmation for that. And we were hoping to play also in Spain next year. But we are still, there's a festival there, I think it's on Mallorca. But yeah, we'll see. We'd like to play everywhere, if I'm honest, but it's not always that easy.
Right. Well, how often do you play?
I guess we play once every couple of months. But I must admit, obviously, because we're not that long together, so it's been four and a half years, I guess. And then the pandemic hit, obviously, so there was 2 years of nothing. So we haven't played that many lives, actually.
So you mentioned having been to the States a couple of times, but the band has never played here in the U.S. Do you have any plans, any hopes, any desires to get here stateside?
That's a dream of mine to play in the States. But to be honest, I don't know we have the resources to. I have no idea how to go about something like that. In Europe, we have some contacts, so it might be a little bit easier for us. But yeah, in the States, we'd love to, I'm sure. But I'm not sure how easy it is to set that up.
The other song off the album that we can take a listen to is Pistol Pack and Penny. Mm-hmm. And I know you made a video for that one as well. In the song, you detail how Penny is quite fond of you and Pack and Heat. Have you ever had a stalker?
I have, actually. But it wasn't, I don't think it was as bad as in the song.
So she didn't have a gun. She didn't have a gun.
No, this is a long time ago, and it wasn't that bad. But there was a girl. She was a little bit crazy, in the upper chambers, and she would sit outside my house uninvited, for some reason. I don't know why, but that has happened. but it's not that interesting. And the song is actually not based on that little story, but yeah.
it's not based on a particular Pistol Pack and Mama. So is that a problem you've had to deal with going forward? I mean, you're front man in the band, and now you've got these ladies like marching after you, hunting you down.
Not at all. No, it's the actual. I'm not that guy, Manfred. I know. Have you ever had a stalker?
You know, thinking about that, no, not really. There was a couple of times there were ladies, and they were sort of like, oh, okay, well, you know, you seem very nice. I thought you were married. I am. It's like, well, you know, I don't think your husband would appreciate this. So let's kind of beg this off. We don't have to tell him. Well, you know, I just don't think that's a good idea. You know, nothing good is going to come out of that. Nothing good is going to come out of that. Exactly. In fact, there was one time we were, the Woggles were on tour, we played in New Orleans, and we had this fill-in bass player, and he had just split up with his longtime girlfriend. So he was doing this thing where he was single and he wanted to mingle. So that's fine. That was his business. And I said, well, okay, we're all going to go to bed now, and you can go off gallivanting, but, you know, the train leaves the station at a certain time, meaning that the van, you know, you need to be back here where we're spending the night by the time we need to pull away. And so the next day he came back, and the guy just was absolutely destroyed. I mean, you know, just haggard, and and it's just, he was completely destroyed. And what had happened was he went off with this woman, And about, you know, they didn't get to bed until like 3:00, 3:30 in the morning. And then it's 6:45, the covers were yanked off the bed, and her boyfriend was screaming and yelling and throwing stuff.
Ouch.
And so he said he it took him a moment to find his pants, but when he finally found the pants, he, you know, ran out into the street, and now the sun is coming up and it's hitting him there, and he doesn't know where he is in New Orleans. And he said that's when her former husband came home and said, "Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah, you know, you shouldn't have been hanging out with her. I mean, you know, that's bad news. Bad news."
That's amazing.
That's a so great there you go. So myself, I can't, I've never had a particular stalker, but, you know, I guess I've been lucky. You know, that sounds like it could be a bad thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's so some of the stories you hear, it can be very scary.
Well, Pistol Pack and Penny, this is one where you came up with the riff and you showed it to the rest of the band, or how did that song get put together?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, I had this riff on the guitar and had the kind of basic idea of the song, and then we just brought it into the rehearsal studio, and then we just tried it out and kind of came out nice, I guess. We liked it, so there's not really any crazy story to it, actually. It's a pretty straightforward rock and roll song, I guess. But yeah, We definitely like to play it.
Well, Marcel, we're going to give it a spin in just a moment. But first, I got to thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much, Mighty Manfred. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Well, we're going to leave now with some Pistol Pack and Penny off Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Heydays, and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Just heard some of Pistol Pack and Penny from The Fabulous Heydays here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is off their debut album, Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Heydays. It's available from SoundFlat Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's frontman and lead singer, Marcel McCree, for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Now, The Master Plan, they feature members from The Fleshtones, The Waxing Poetics, and The Dictators. And it's with their Dictator, Andy Chernoff, bass player in the group, that I'll be speaking with on our next podcast. The band has got a new single coming out on Rumbar Records, and we'll find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.